Well, it's been about 3 years or so since I was here before, and as I look out and over the audience, and as I have greeted some earlier before we began, I've noticed something very awesome, that nobody has gotten any older than the last time I was here. No one has put on any weight. I mean, I don't know what the secret is, but maybe you'll share that with us before we part Mobile, Alabama, a little bit later. Out there in the foyer, we're mentioning some things that may be of interest to you. We have three different issues of the Rushmore newsletter out there that you may pick up. If you want to receive it regularly, put your name and address or email on the sign-up sheet out there. And likewise, the same sign-up sheet will get you notification when each new issue of Gospel Gazette online magazine is ready. We have a variety of tracks out there. We have about 125 tracks back at the office. I brought the ones in which I'm the most interested, the ones that I wrote. They're out there to be picked up at your leisure for yourselves or for others as well. We have out there some free a cappella hymns. This is the Winford Claiborne family. As Brother Claiborne passed away, he left a lot of literature and also hymns beyond what perhaps a market could bear. And so they're being made available to any who would like to have those. Just simply pick them up. Out there also, we have the remedy for when bugs and mice come into your homes. I mean, you probably weren't expecting that tonight. But if you pick up one of these and place it in a strategic location in your home, it will drive all those varmints to your neighbor's property. Even if you've got a 40-acre farm, or drive it over to your farmer friend, and you won't have to worry about that anymore. And on the back of it is some information regarding the mission work in which we are involved. Treasure Chest out there has some free, inexpensive, but write very well ballpoint pens. Every time you use that, you also likewise will remember that we were here and the work in which we're involved and the work that also is a part of your endeavors as we go around the world. For a few moments, I'd like to direct your attention to an overview of world evangelism with an emphasis on the involvement of the Rushmores in it. We will introduce some of the team members, both stateside and abroad, and some of the various labors in which we are involved, but we will emphasize particularly those things in which we are involved. And so as we look at the first slide, we want to give you a little bit more introduction of me, perhaps, that you might know us a little bit better. As was mentioned, we are part of what has been dubbed world evangelism. J.C. and Betty Choate began this program about 60 or 70 years ago, as it turns out now, and it involved a mass evangelism and follow-up work. Back in 2007, Brother J.C. was very ill and subsequently passed away in February the following year. And so my wife Bonnie and I, as well as another couple that we'll introduce in a moment, came down in 2007 to help perpetuate the long-standing and good work of J.C. and Betty Choate. And so all of us go under the moniker of world evangelism, has to do with this program begun by the church. We also bring something of our own to the overall program, and so I've dubbed mine world evangelism, media, and missions. Others have called theirs world evangelism, missions, or such like, to indicate our continuity in the program as well as the additional input that we have in that regard. Since the beginning of this year, I've officially been the editor of the Voice of Truth International magazine. For the last 10 years, I've been the associate editor, along with Brother Jerry Bates, of that journal. And since its beginning, I've been the editor and publisher of Gospel Gazette online magazine, similar to Voice of Truth. We do foreign missionary work in five countries abroad, in Asia and South America, and other team members go to some of those places and additional places around the world. Travel extensively. We're on the beginning day of a 4 or 5 week tour right now. And so, as was said, we were in Clinton, Mississippi, just west of Jackson, Mississippi this morning. Here we are. Got here just a little bit before others showed up. And then tomorrow we will make our way to Ocala, Florida, and drop off some furniture, pick up some furniture, and pick up three grandchildren, their mother, and take them to Bible camp in Ohio. Wednesday I'll be preaching in Cleveland, Tennessee. Next Sunday, two congregations in Ohio. Next several weeks, congregations in Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky. Get back home maybe on around the 26th to 27th of June in time for the preparation for the annual World Evangelism Team meeting. So we get around. We're about a lot into literature as well, as we'll see as we progress a little bit. When I go someplace, whether it's such as I am here with you this evening, or I go someplace over around the world, across some ocean somewhere, I have two goals, and in this particular order, and the first of which is to glorify God, and the second of which is to edify my fellow man, edify Christians, edify non-Christians as well, as opportunities present themselves. And probably this would be a good goal for all of us as God's children to entertain, glorify God by the way in which we live our lives, glorify God by those things that proceed from our mouths, glorify God by the opportunities we seize to influence and persuade people for good with the gospel of Christ. And then also, of course, to be concerned about edifying our family members, our friends, our co-workers, those with whom we go to school, or others with whom we have contact in life. Glorify God and edify our fellow man. Help. Okay. We were having some technical difficulties. 2 weeks ago, I was in the woods in Alabama, outside of Hamilton, Alabama, some other places, and using the church equipment. We got into the third slide, and the thing just froze up and never did anything again. And so I went from plan A right over to plan D, which is to stand and talk. Look good, you know, to smile at everybody. And so maybe we'll do what we can do. This looks like it's going to work out all right. These are some of the co-workers, not all of them, but some of the co-workers with whom we participate in this country and around the world. Top left-hand picture is a picture of Jerry and Paula Bates, with whom we work every day. They're on the road today as well. I don't remember whether they're in Tennessee or Arkansas. They're someplace out there working for the Lord. Sister Betty Cho, to the right of them, is in California visiting family. To the right of her is Wayne and Janet Barrier, and they've worked with the Choates for decades. They live outside of Florence, Alabama. They're overseen by the Double Springs, Alabama Church of Christ, whereas the Sidewell Road Church of Christ in Jackson, Mississippi oversees Martha and me, and the Strickland Church of Christ in Glen, Mississippi, outside of Corinth, Mississippi, oversees Jerry and Paula Bates. And so we all have our respective elderships to which we are amenable, and we voluntarily cooperate to provide a comprehensive, well-rounded program. And likewise, we cooperate with others in this country and around the world to accomplish the same ends. The top right-hand picture is of two brothers, one Indian and one is an American. The Indian is Brother Joshua Goodham. He's one of the elders and a tele-evangelist for our Church of Christ in Kakinada, India, southeastern part of India along the Bay of Bengal. And then he's translating into Telugu the English preaching of Brother Thurman Hodge, who lives in Meridian, Mississippi, and sometimes we travel together various places in Asia. The bottom left-hand picture is of Brother Nigel Milo. He's in Guyana, South America, and I work with him every year for about 6 weeks, and we cover his entire nation. We put our program within reach of every congregation of the Lord's Church in that country, provide about 4,000 pounds of literature to that country, and he and his congregation distribute it to every congregation in the country every year. He is the best specimen, Brother Sergeant, no offense intended, the best specimen of an evangelist, a gospel preacher, of whom I'm aware any place on planet Earth. And he excels me by far. I love to work with him. I learn likewise from him. He's the Energizer Bunny on steroids, a very useful tool in the hands of God. He's a national treasure, particularly for the Lord's Church in that country. To the right of him is Brother Sonny David in New Delhi, India, one of the elders of that congregation with which he worships, also a tele-evangelist, along with his brother, also an elder, Brother Francis David, also with Francis' son, Vinay David. They three have a Hindi TV program that airs twice a week. And so there's a picture of Sonny David there. To the right of him is a picture of Philip, can't pronounce his last name, son Johnny, and I forgot what his wife's name is. In the Mabi area of Myanmar, about an hour away from Yangon, in the jungle where we have a school. And the school has 5 weeks of instruction in the spring, 5 weeks of instruction in the fall for 3 years, going through a curriculum not comparable at all with what we would do in the States, but very valuable nonetheless. as it heightens the knowledge of our brethren, gives them the wherewith to evangelize their families and their communities, as well as is responsible for the conversion of many of the non-Christians, Buddhist and denominational people who sometimes attend the school as well. And so I go out there, and I crouch down, and here come the children of the two co-directors. The older one is a little girl named Dum Dum. I'm sure I didn't say it right, but she comes running along, and I'm squatted down there, and she throws her arms around my neck, and boy, it doesn't get any better than that. And then she parts, and here comes little Johnny. He's a little bit younger. He's slower, but you have to brace for the impact because he's going to throw his arms around you and might tackle you to the ground. And again, it doesn't get any better than that, having that type of a relationship with that generation. In New Delhi, there's the son of Vinay David. He's 5 years old, and he is a jewel also. Love him to death. He loves me very much. Sometimes cries himself to sleep when he knows that I'm going to return back to the States or go someplace else in his country. At 5 years old, I've got a video of him preaching an outstanding sermon, so it appears, in Hindi. I don't understand very much of it, but he's learned from his father and from his uncle and from his grandpa, and he just does a tremendous job. He's wholly immersed in the church. He never sits up front in the auditorium unless I'm there, and he sits right beside me. Sometimes I get too much of a good thing, and I have to go find my room and bolt the door. But at any rate, love him dearly. To the right of them, we have a brother, Amos Sain. He is in his middle to late 40s, I suppose, single. He is Burmese, and he is of the Osho tribe. And he's worked with one mountaintop village for 16 years. Almost everybody in the village is a member of the church. Let me pause and tell you about an excursion I made last fall over to that village. We went by automobile for 12 hours. That's a challenge in itself. We crossed a central range of mountains. Sometimes the ridge was narrow enough with a drop-off on both sides of the roadway. And we then travel and we cross a long river on a big bridge and drive for hours more. We come to the base of another mountain, and we drive back and forth like this up to the mountain, and then we park the car, and we finish the trip on foot up the side of the mountain. It's only 3,000 feet tall, comparable to the mid-range height of the Appalachian Mountains, about rounded like they are as well. If you would fall off the mountain, you wouldn't fall but a little ways and pick yourself up and start over again. It had been torrential rains had been occurring, and the clouds were down on top of the mountain. I get over there, and we find that they have made preparation for my arrival by clearing away the underbrush underneath the banana tree so I wouldn't have to go like this. And because it had been raining, it was slippery, and I slipped, of course, and I'd borrowed a backpack from Brother Thurman Hodge. He'd borrowed it from one of his daughters. And I start to go over the mountain, and somebody grabs the backpack, and I'm attached to it, so I was able to return the backpack a little bit later. And thereafter, every time I'm on that incline on that trail on the side of the mountain, either an old woman on each arm or a little boy or a girl would hold up my elbow so they wouldn't lose the American over the side. I get up there at the top, and we find that all the dwellings are made of bamboo, and one edge of the dwellings are on the mountain, and the rest of the dwellings hang over the mountain and are on legs. And no toilets up there, no running water, no sewage, no electricity, nothing of that nature. And they have something in the trees called leeches that like to drop down on you as you walk through the forested area and try and bite you on the neck behind the ear, but none of those got me. They also have leeches on the ground. I'm up there and I'm teaching. They're all sitting on the floor. They've got a roof and they've got a floor, no walls. And I've got a table and I've got a chair and I'm sitting there and I'm teaching. And I look down and my right foot is bleeding profusely. And a sister in the church, an older sister, sees that I'm looking at my foot. She sees what I'm seeing. And she comes up and starts pulling off leeches and cleaning up blood with tissues. And throws the tissues off to the side. All the while I'm up here teaching, she's down there taking care of my foot. And then she throws that tissue off to the side, and a brother gets up, and he lights it on fire. I'm over here teaching, and like everything's normal, and it's on fire over there on the floor. And then when the fire gets to the leech, it goes pop like a firecracker. And I'm over here minding my own business, just teaching away. In 2 days, I was able to teach 8 lessons because they would not take any breaks, only would break for lunch. And so before dark, I go back down the mountain. We go 2 hours away, stay in something I don't want to stay in for the night, come back the next day and do it all over again. But that type of the interest and the thirst after God's word, time and time again, as we go various places around the world, makes all of the inconveniences well worth enduring for the cause of Christ. So my wife, Bonnie, used to say, after I was done speaking, you wonder why nobody wants to go with you when you tell stories like that. But we will take people with us. That's how Brother Thurman Hodge began traveling with me sometime in the past. We have a new co-worker back in Winona, Mississippi. I sent out a resume looking for a new worker. It said something like this, looking for a wife with pool. Send picture of pool. And she won. There she is sitting back there with me today. Actually, Martha and my wife, Bonnie, had been best friends for 25 years. The four of us have been friends for 25 years or more. And on January 1st, we decided by matrimony that we would waddle through the balance of life together, try to soothe each other's wounds, as it were, our losses and our sorrows, and also be in service to the Lord. We went down for a honeymoon, down to Guyana, South America. We got married on January 1st. On January 24th, we left for South America, spent 6 weeks down there in the jungles, various places, flying little airplanes and whatnot, and up big rivers. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better honeymoon. I mean, I took her on three cruises. You see, we crossed a river as passengers on a car ferry. The river is 20 miles wide, no bridge. And we came back, so there's two cruises right there. And then we went on a cruise up a river for 3 hours in an open speedboat going to one of our locations. And it rained on us, and we were totally soaked. And at our destination, the river is too close to the ocean. The tide went out and took the river with it. So we're stuck out there in the middle of the river in the channel, can't get to shore. One of the Guyanese brothers wades in mud to his hips to the shore, brings out a flat-bottom boat. We transfer in the river from one boat to the other. We get closer to shore, transfer from that boat into a moored boat, climb up steps, walk along planks with no railings to get to shore. And then the fun really began after that. So there was cruise number three. I took her to the beach twice. You know, that's that ribbon of mud on the other side of the seawall when the tide goes out. And she did step on a rusty nail once. And then I took her to a resort hotel. I mean, that's what the sign said out front, though we wouldn't maybe classify it as a one-star hotel here. The walls looked like they went all the way to the ceiling, but we could see the light from the room next to us coming over the wall at the ceiling and hear them talking over there all night long, too. Boy, we had a blast. We had a very good time working for the Lord. And she left this country, admittedly, a city girl. It wasn't long, she was a country girl. And before we got out of the jungle, she was a jungle girl. As we got back to the States, and she still hasn't left me, and we're planning on going to Asia for 8 weeks later this year. May go back to Guyana, South America for 2 weeks a little bit from now. And so our newest co-worker right there. We have already made mention of the Voice of Truth International magazine. Brother J.C. Choate was the founding editor of it. Byron Nichols, until recently, was the editor of it. On Friday, Brother Nichols had his 80th birthday, and he's decided to be a slacker. He thinks he needs to slow down a little bit, and so beginning with the first of the year, Brother Jerry Bates and I are subsequently responsible for the content of the Voice of Truth International magazine. This is used as a feeder magazine overseas, as brethren will pull things from it and publish their own magazines, also translated into a number of foreign languages, as well as is used in this country for sermon preparation or for devotionals or Bible class preparation, for bulletin material, things of that nature. And then since 1999, a similar publication, but on the Internet, Gospel Gazette Online. And I don't have May done yet. Running out of May. Don't have May done yet. So I'm working on it. And then regarding the Gospel Gazette Online magazine, we've had responses from all of the continents, including Antarctica. And so we have thousands of articles by good Christian men and women that are archived that can be accessed over the Internet. We have the Global Harvest magazine. I have some somewhere in the car. I don't know where. Or in that trailer that's behind my car. I don't know where. But pictures and text of various mission work stateside and abroad in which our brethren are involved, not just those with whom we are closely associated, but if you have other work such as what we're mentioned tonight, you give us some text and pictures, we'll be happy to entertain putting that in some future edition of the Global Harvest magazine. But we can see what is going on and thereby be encouraged, and we can also maybe deduce what still needs to be done and apply ourselves accordingly. Back at the warehouse, we have about 350 different titles of books in English, in Spanish, in French, in German, in Russian. And we have 91 issues of Voice of Truth International magazine in English. We have 8 volumes in Spanish of Voice of Truth International magazine, about 125 different tracks, shirt pocket, full-color tracks that are on a variety of subjects. And so those books depicted there are some of the ones that I have written. And then we have a situation of literature in and literature out at Winona. Tractor trailers pull up, and the things we've sent out to be published or printed come back to us. Either there's one box at a time off the back of a truck, or if there's a lift gate, then of course they put the pallets on the ground. And we work from there, and then we repackage it, and then it is either shipped to New York to be put on a slow boat in New Jersey to go to Asia or Africa, or we haul it to Texas, or we haul it to Nashville to place with shippers to go to various places around the world. We put literature on containers that our brethren are sending to various places in the world where people can read English. The bottom right-hand picture is about killed my car, hauling up about a ton of literature to Nashville to put with a shipper to send down to Guyana, South America. Hence, we pull a trailer to move some of these things around. Some of the different countries to which I go, and some of our co-workers go as well, to India. Top left-hand picture is at Kakinada Lectures on the Bay of Bengal, southeastern India. 4,000 mostly brethren sign up for this every year, and we have a picture here of 900 that have assembled for one of the programs. Our brother Thurman Hodge and I are in the front of that picture. And then to the right of that, we have brother Vinay David, and he's translating into the Hindi language for me as I'm speaking in the Chhattisgarh state in a town called Belco. The people are hostile there toward Bible believers, and so we have to be very careful. And our Indian brethren also have to be very careful. The top left-hand picture, the language there spoken is Telugu. There are about 800 different languages or dialects in India, so they can't talk to each other without knowing more than one language or having a translator as well. Bottom left-hand picture, some of the colorful garb of women and children that were at that assembly depicted on the top right. Bottom right is my book, Noble Ladies, a study of Ruth and Esther. And the right-hand picture, or part of that picture, is the Telugu version of that. The left-hand part of that picture is the handwritten translation into Telugu. And here we have some pictures from Myanmar or Burma. Top left-hand picture, we have that tribal area on top of the mountain to which I went and to which I referred earlier. See the colorful Indian garb or the Burmese tribal garb there. Whereas in this country, colonial powers and Europeans came over here and pushed aside the Native Americans somewhat, or quite a bit for that matter. Over in Myanmar, it still is comprised all of tribes, 7 major tribes and some sub-tribes as well. And they don't look like they're from India. They don't look like they're from China. They look like they're from North America or look like they're from South America as far as the indigenous peoples are concerned. And so a lot of similarities involved in the peoples and their dress and so forth. Bottom left-hand picture is a group of a snapshot of those who assembled for the 5-week program at the Mabi Bible School in the jungle, about an hour away from Yangon. Right-hand 2 pictures are that jungle trail going up the side of the mountain to which I referred earlier. We have translated in this country items into Burmese and Asho and Lisu and Rawang, at least those languages. And then we have a picture of Singapore, not really a mission destination. When I go there, I work with the Lavender Church of Christ. There are several congregations of the Lord's Church there. They're more westernized than are we, even here in Mobile, Alabama. Now, they know what a clock's for, and they may be the only ones in Asia that know what it does. And they live on an island nation. They have no natural resources, and they must import everything. And yet, because they have educated themselves to the nth degree, they've taken advantage of modern transportation and taken advantage of modern communication. They are the service people of the world, a very, very wealthy nation. There are several congregations of the Lord's Church there, some of them numbering in the hundreds in attendance, and they invest their manpower and money in missions in various Asian countries. Last time I was there on Friday night, I was teaching young people about external evidences to the Bible and worked with the Lord's Church on the Lord's Day. And then there's Sri Lanka, has been the doorstep for sending radio broadcast into India for many decades. And now, of course, with the Civil War, their history, the infrastructure is developing, as well as opportunities for the Lord's Church to advance, too. I work with the Shrubbery Gardens Congregation in Colombo, Sri Lanka, the capital of that country. And then Guyana, South America. I love Burma. I love Guyana, South America. I grew up in the mountains, and I love going to the mountains along the Brazilian-Venezuelan borders in Guyana. And you might have noticed I'm not real tall. And my wife, Martha, she's 5'1". But when we go to places in Burma, and we go to the interior of Guyana, we're kind of tall. We like it, you know. And we come back here and we're not so tall anymore. But Martha is at least one head taller than the preacher. And the preacher is taller than his wife. And so you can get an idea what's going on there. Now, the Parramatta congregation depicted in top left-hand corner and the Monkey Mountain congregation, they had complaints against us this year. And their complaints were, what, you don't like us? You only spend 2 8-hour days with us? We want a week. But we get with congregations in the coastal area that are more nearly like we are regarding their very busy people. We can maybe get them to commit to 2 hours. We can stretch it one more hour to 3 hours. But in the interior, they are very anxious and eager, very thirsty for the gospel of Christ, and they want morning, they want afternoon, they want night, they want a week of that. And they're also very evangelistic toward other villages in the area, to which they have to walk from 1 to 3 days one way to work with Christians in those villages, and then come back and try to maintain their farms on the side of the mountain, subsistence farming. We have on the bottom left-hand picture, dugout canoes. There are a lot of dugout canoes, a lot of motorboats, a lot of river freighters, a lot of ocean-going freighters that can sail 50 to 75 miles upstream, turn around, load their cargo, and come back out. The right-hand bottom picture is one of my favorite airplanes. I'm taller than the airplane is. Yeah, I mean, every seat's a window seat. I mean, and if you want to, you can touch both walls at the same time. And there are amenities to be had in those little airplanes. You just can't get with the big airline. I mean, there's a hole in the glass of the window. And so when we're 5,000 feet up, we can breathe. You know, no pressurization involved at 5,000 feet. And so air comes in. You can breathe. But when you fly through a rain cloud, the rain comes in and washes your face. No extra charge. And then the gas is gone around the bottom of the door, and you go through a rain cloud, get your feet washed. No extra charge. In-flight entertainment includes looking out the window of the airplane and looking at the part of the airplane holding the engine and start counting how many rivets are missing. No extra charge. Or you can look at the GPS that duct taped to the yoke of the airplane. And I got to fly as co-pilot twice this past January. You know, they weigh the luggage, they weigh the cargo, and they weigh the passengers. And sometimes they tell us where we have to sit so the plane flies like this and not like that or that way. And so the pilot says he's looking for ballast. He said, I would do. Put me up there in the front. Struck up a good conversation with him, and we talked about the church. And next time I flew with him, he just asked me to sit up there with him anyhow. One time I was flying with him, and he's got all that instrument panel there. I told the pilot, I won't touch anything. He said, good to know that. And we're flying along there. We had this big orange light come on. We ran out of fuel. Brother Nigel Milo is sitting behind the pilot, and I'm sitting over beside the pilot, and Brother Nigel was watching me to see if I get excited or not. I didn't get excited. I looked at the pilot. He wasn't excited. He just flipped the knob on the dash and evened out the fuel between the two tanks, and we just went on like we were going on anyhow. No problem. And so we fly over top of rainbows, fly over top of jungles, land on gravel landing strips or tar and chip landing strips, and then we have the most wonderful reception by brethren who are interested in hearing the gospel of Christ. There, Martha and I are all soaking wet in that flat-bottom boat trying to get to shore. We're wearing our ponchos and wearing our bare feet, and she's using her tennis shoes as cup holders, and it was, we're laughing, we're happy. It worked out just fine. On the picture below that, we have, like we would read in the early chapters of Genesis before the flood of Noah's day, how God watered the earth in the tropical environments. The entire planet was a tropical environment at that time. Mist comes up from the ground and covers the trees and covers the mountains, and the sun burns it off eventually. Very, very pretty, beautiful, just love it very, very much. And so we need advocates. We need people to help us get a foot in somebody's door where we can introduce them to what it is that we do and see if perhaps we might be able to develop a rapport with them that somewhere down the road they may want to participate with us. Always need the prayers, always need the encouragement. And so the problem with a monthly magazine is that it comes around every month. And the problem with a quarterly magazine is it takes a whole quarter to prepare for the next quarter. And so we're very much involved in that. And then we've completed one trip so far this year. We'll spend several weeks, 2 months or so, abroad in Myanmar or Burma, and also India, possibly also Singapore and Sri Lanka. And always about the literature, trying to keep it in print, trying to keep it distributed where we might. On the left-hand picture there is on the roadway, not very far from the Mabi Bible School in Burma, two Buddhist monks and two cows. And then on the right-hand side, we have a picture in Guyana, South America. In many places, there are no roads, no footpaths. If you can't get there by water, you can't get there. And this would be one of those settings. And so I answer to the elders of the Sidewell Road Congregation. There are many facets of the work in which this congregation at Creekwood has been involved for many years. Wanted to give you an update to let you know how things are going in that regard. We entertain your questions after worship today. We entertain your comments. If necessary, we entertain your criticisms as well after our worship. The reason that we go and do what we do, wherever it is that we go, is because of the value of souls. And with that in mind, and thinking about how one becomes a child of God, if we were looking for a summary verse as to how one becomes a child of God, certainly the words of our Lord in Mark 16, verse 16, would be that summary. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, some people like red-letter edition to the Bible. It doesn't get any more red-letter than Mark 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But sin also creeps into our lives as Christians, and we have to deal with the sin problem also. And therefore, we have passages like Acts 8 and verse 22, where Peter told Simon the Samaritan to repent and pray that God might forgive him of his sins. We have what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 9. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so let's get on the pilgrim pathway. Let's stay on the pilgrim pathway. Let's keep it between the ditches of sin. Let's help our brothers and sisters to get up when they stumble. And let's reach for their hands to lift us up when we stumble. Let's go to heaven. Have that determination and resolve. And take as many with us as we can. Fix our eyes on that heavenly horizon. That city whose builder and maker is God. And have the determination, the resolve, I will arrive. I will walk through those pearly white gates. I will walk on those streets of gold. I will spend an eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I will spend an eternity with the angelic host. I will spend an eternity with the redeemed of all ages. If we can help you get on the pilgrim pathway, the end of which travel is the very home of God, please let us know how we can help as we stand and as we sing.